is the Northwoods Fishing Report from Muskie 360 with your host, Josh Krieger.
All right, welcome. You are tuned in to the Northwoods Fishing Report podcast. I am your host, Eagle River Muskie Guide Josh Krieger. Happy Memorial Day. Summer is officially upon us. Or is it? We had frost warnings overnight and into the morning for both Friday night into Saturday morning for opener and then Saturday night into Sunday morning for the day after opener. I believe on Saturday they lasted until 9 a.m. and on Sunday they lasted until 8 a.m. Frost warnings this time of the year tells you obviously the weather is very cold and it is cooling the surface temps. We had water temps that were up to the mid-60s a little over a week and a half ago, and then we got a super big cold front that's lasted for like 7 days with strong winds, and it has drastically dropped the water temperatures. They're fairly cool for this time of the year, being in the low to mid-50s, and as I mentioned, literally just 10 days ago, they were in the mid-60s. So big changes as far as the surface temps go, and that definitely affects the fish this time of the year. Before the cold front pushed in, the whole pike family or Esox family, other than the muskies, had completely spawned out. The perch, the pike, and the walleye, they were done spawning before muskie season opened, so before this weekend. We were catching bigger female walleye outside of the weed edges, and some of the smaller males were still in the weeds. That is a clear indicator that those fish are done spawning, as the bigger females tend to move out of the shallower weeds in the spawning areas before the smaller males. Now again, that was before the big cold front. Once the big cold front came, I didn't do a whole lot of fishing. It was more just kind of scouting around and watching what was going on with the water temperatures. My focus became strictly muskies. As I mentioned, everything else had spawned out. The muskies, when we had that really warm front come through for a good 4 days and the surface temps got up into the, you know, the low to mid 60s, a lot of the muskies kind of started spawning and I was seeing it here and there. But then that big cold front hit. Once the cold front hit, that seemed to kind of delay or completely stop the spawn altogether. I wasn't seeing, you know, the numbers of fish kind of paired up in the shallows like I was pre-cold front. So what ended up happening is you had some fish that had spawned out, some that were getting ready, and some, you know, that were in the middle of it when this cold front hit. We found this weekend fishing that we encountered fish that were pre-spawn, and we saw some spawners, and then we even encountered some post-spawn fish. So some of it just depended on what body of water you were on. Some of the shallower stained waters that warm quicker and retain more heat from the sun, those ones were some of the waters where the muskies were a little bit further removed from the spawn, more post-spawn. We did still see a couple of spawners in those shallow stained waters on Sunday as well, but primarily your pre-spawn and spawning fish we were finding in some of those deeper, clearer lakes. On Saturday, I fished one of those deeper, clearer lakes. I fished the Manitouish Waters chain. What we were finding out there is that a lot of the fish seem to be just over the sand grass off of the deep cabbage weed edge. And out there in that clear water, that deep cabbage weed edge was like 14 to 16 feet of water. So a lot of times we were casting anywhere from 14 to 18 feet of water or so. And let me tell you, the cabbage weed growth out there was absolutely impressive for this time of the year. I mean, I'm talking cabbage weeds that are up to the surface or just a little under, maybe 2 feet under at most, in 14, 15, 16 feet of water. So that was pretty crazy cool to see. Water temps out on the Manitouish chain were in the low 50s. I had anywhere from 51 to 53 and a half. And the big producer for us out there as far as success in contacting fish went was the 7.5 inch Red October tube, specifically working it pretty slowly, we weren't ripping it quickly and aggressively like we do in the summer. It was still aggressive pulls, but longer pauses in between them. And a lot of times the fish were hitting on that pause. You'd see your line kind of jump, or you'd feel just a little tap and you pick up the line real quickly and set the hook. So like I mentioned, 7.5 inch Red October tube, low 50s. Fish seem to be out in deeper water on the outside cabbage edge, 14 to 18 feet over the sand grass on the Manitwist chain on Saturday. Sunday, completely different. The fish that we encountered Sunday were all post-spawn with just one group of spawning fish that I saw. The water temps were in the mid-50s, anywhere from 54 to 58. Part of that is also because I was fishing the Eagle River chain versus the Manitwish Waters chain. The Eagle River chain is much more stained from the tannic acids and the tamarack trees up here, so it warms much quicker and it doesn't have nearly as much deep water. On the Manitwish chain, you have multiple spots that get over 50 feet deep, and I think the deepest spot is over 70. On the Eagle River chain, the deepest spot on any of the lakes is only 32 feet, and there are not a ton of areas that are deeper than 16. The weed growth on the Eagle River chain was also very, very good. Deep is a relative term, depending on what you're fishing. So deep weeds on the Eagle River chain would be about 8 feet of water versus 14 to 16 feet on the Manitwist chain. And a lot of the fish on the Eagle River chain were coming out of some of the shallower weed edges that were adjacent to deep water river channels. Specifically, if you could find points that had weeds growing on them that were close to the middle of the lake and had steep breaks, those tended to be some of the best spots. So steep break, either right by river channel or in the middle of the lake, with a point that comes out if you can find it and some shallower water where weeds are growing. We caught 2 on Sunday in a 4-hour trip and we moved 3 others, so it was a pretty good day. One was caught on a bucktail and one was caught on a hellhound, both moving slow. The hellhound is a glide bait and I was working it quite slowly. And then the bucktail was a smaller bucktail, a Bukertail 700 series. And that was being retrieved fairly slowly with a higher rod tip angle to keep the bait higher in the water column to keep it from running into the weeds. One of the fish and 2 of them that we moved on Sunday on the chain, the Eagle River chain, came during the afternoon major. That afternoon major was between 10:42 and 12:42, late morning, early afternoon. 3 fish came off of one spot during that major. We caught one, moved another one, the cast after we released that one, and then moved one larger female off of the deeper weed edge on the hellhound, moving it very slowly. That fish actually moved twice. I moved it 2 casts before it came in again. It was down real deep and I could see she was post-spawn. She was a little beat up from spawning. You could see some white scars on her. And then when she came in a couple casts later, I had her following the hellhound and I was giving it long pauses. She came up behind it and she like a quarter of the way opened her mouth just enough that you could see the white of the inside of the fish's mouth and then very gently closed it just, I don't know, a quarter inch behind the bait. It literally looked like this fish was tasting the water behind my bait to assess it. I'm not really sure what it was doing. I've seen it happen before. It's often a sign that the fish is not super aggressively feeding. You can occasionally convert those fish and sometimes they make the mistake and actually grab the rear of the bait. But in this situation, that fish just kind of gave that real gentle nip behind the bait, followed through one turn and then went off of the figure eight. One other fish, we actually moved twice in the morning on Sunday. It was a little, very aggressive male. It came in on the hellhound and missed it on one of the turns of the figure eight. And then 3 casts later, one of the clients had it come up on a bucktail and it hit one of the turns and ended up popping the hooks. So honestly, fishing was way better than I had anticipated with all the erratic weather we've had recently and the surface temps changing so much. I was pleasantly surprised with opening weekend. The big keys on both days were the feed windows seemed to be during the warmest and sunniest times. This is often the case early in the year when there's colder water temperatures, especially when we have cool nights and the surface temperatures are actually cooling overnight. The fish tend to be more active during some of the warmest parts of the day as the water is warming up. Often, the sunniest parts of the day are the best, and the moon becomes a little bit less of a factor. Now, Sunday during that major, that was a factor as it was also sunny out. All three of the fish that we caught were in the sun. We moved a couple when there was a little overcast. Saturday morning, we didn't have any success in the rain as it was pretty cold and rainy for a little bit in the morning. I actually even told some of my clients this weekend that we wanted the sun. I said it's very rare you will hear a muskie guide say we want the sun. Typically, we're looking for overcast, low light conditions. But with these cold water temps in the early season, like I said, we want that sun. We want the water temperatures warming. These fish tend to be most active during those times. Now, even though the fish are most active during those times, they're still not super active with cooler water temperatures. The big key was moving baits slowly. Whether it's bucktails running on the small side, glide baits, dive and rise baits, rubber baits, whatever you're working right now, you want to be working fairly slowly as these fish are not totally fired up and aggressive like they are in the middle of the summer. I want to share one story with you guys that actually is not related to muskie fishing entirely. It is related to a bait making company. It happened while I was out walleye fishing before muskie season opened, and Livingston Lures, all of their baits have EBS in them, or electronic bait fish sounds, and they make like little chirping sounds. I always kind of just thought it was a sales gimmick. You know, every bait company has to have something that gets the consumer to buy them. So I kind of thought it was just a ploy to, you know, attract consumers to buy their baits. And I never really thought there was anything to it. But one night I was out fishing and I set my walleye jerkbait down over the side of the boat. All of a sudden, I was fishing out the other side of the boat. I hear splashing at the surface and a 13 and a half inch crappie grabbed my 4.5 inch long walleye crankbait that was just sitting still at the surface. So my head tried to make sense of what had happened. And the only logical conclusion I could come to was that that EBS, those little noises and vibrations, especially in the quiet and calm of night, were what attracted that fish to eat. So I may have become a firm believer that the EBS in Livingston Lures does actually help catch fish. I do want to give them a shout out. They're a sponsor of mine. They make some great baits and I've been using them quite a bit here. Some of their walleye stuff early in the year and now the Titan Junior I've been using quite a bit this spring as it's a smaller dive and rise musky bait. The Viper 6 is another good glide bait that they make as well. So like I said, just a quick shout out to them and the whole EBS thing. Also, one more thing I wanted to mention. One of the biggest bait shops in town here in Eagle River, right at the corner of Highway 70 and 45, Guide's Choice Pro Shop, recently sold and now has new owners. I only bring this up because they have a ton of inventory and the new owner, Fred, is an awesome guy. I talked to him a couple of times already. Super, super nice guy, very knowledgeable. And I am very, very happy to now give my business back to that bait shop now that I can stand behind the new owners. I'm not trying to badmouth anyone. I just know a lot of locals and even some tourists have had some bad experience with the previous owner. So I'm just kind of letting everyone know it is now under new ownership. Let them know Eagle River Muskie guy Josh Krieger told you to stop in, check the place out. Tons of inventory. He's running all kinds of specials right now. I believe there's a buy two bucktails, get one free going on. So go check it out. Stop and talk to him and be the judge for yourself. Like I said, my opinion, great guy, and I'm happy to give him my business. I'm glad he is the new owner and is in the area. So quick recap here before I let you go of the keys to success over this last opening weekend. Move baits very slowly. Make sure you're fishing the warmest part of the day. As I mentioned, more often than not, that is a bigger factor, more so than the moon feeding periods are. When they occur together is when you really, really start to get success. Like I mentioned on Sunday, we had that afternoon major line up with sunny skies and some of the warmest parts of the day, and the fish were definitely moving and active. So don't throw the moon phase feeding windows out the window. Still keep them in consideration, but right now they are not the end all be all. The warm temperatures, warm weather, and sun is. The areas the fish seemed to be hanging out were points, specifically near deep water river channels and in the middle of the lake, and then more so on the weed edges than in the weeds. More of the smaller males were still in the weeds, whereas some of the larger fish seemed to be on the edge more than in them. Hopefully this info will help you guys be successful in your next musky hunting adventure. I will have a weekly episode released on Friday mornings throughout the season to provide helpful tactics so that hopefully you can catch more fish. Good luck out there, guys. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Northwoods Fishing Report with your host, Eagle River Muskie Guide, Josh Priest.
The Muskie 360 Northwoods Fishing Report is brought to you by these fine sponsors. The Muskie Shop, the world's largest muskie outfitter. Livingston Lures, hear the difference. The Figure Eight Lure Company. The Muskie 360 app.